Thoughts on Luke. Luke chapter 1, verses 76 to 79. Zechariah's prophecy. Well, it's all one speech, 76, 79, and the verses before. It's a song. It's a paean of praise. It's prophecy. It's already a mixture of praise and prophecy in the previous discourse. I hinted that there was prophecy here. But in this section here, 76, 79, this man moves into the prophetic mode. He's addressing John, but of course he's addressing the people there. He's speaking aloud. I'm sure what he's saying, in accordance with 1 Peter 1, verses 10 to 12, I'm sure he's saying far more than he knows. He's pronouncing, he's prophesying, he's declaring. And this boy, this infant, remember we're talking about an infant in an obscure hill village. You might say a nobody, but no, this is a prophet of God, of the God Most High, verse 76. And he is more than a prophet. Christ will say later on that there's none greater than John the Baptist in the Old Covenant, but the least in the kingdom, in the New Covenant, of course is. But this prophet, this boy, is going to be the prophet that will be the forerunner of the Messiah, verse 76. And this Messiah will come. And John is the forerunner. He's the leading the way into this coming of the Messiah. And this Messiah will bring salvation. And it's spelled out here, forgiveness of sins, verse 77. Zechariah goes further. He gives us, this is not just emotion. There's emotion in it, but it's not emotionalism. This is reasoned out. This man doesn't understand it all, but he's explaining, God is explaining through him. Why? Why will this baby be this forerunner of the Messiah? Why has God sent the Messiah? What's the basis of it all? What's the cause of it all? What's the reason for it? Well, look at verse 78. The tender mercy of our God. The tender mercy of God himself. And he describes him as our God. Yes, the God of his people, the God of the elect, the God of the Jews in the Old Covenant, and the God of the elect, the saving God, the tender mercies of this God. And the Messiah, not John, will be the chief. Verse 78, it is Christ above all, of course. Christ is all. As John himself will later say, he must increase and I must decrease. He is the rising sun. That's how Zechariah describes him. Of course, that's echoes of Malachi 4, verse 2. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. He's come from heaven to earth, verse 78. And look at the reference here to the shining light upon those that walk and live in darkness. That's a reference taken, echoes of Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 2. It's repeated in Matthew 4, verses 12 to 17. When Christ began his ministry, it was the light that was shining upon a dark place. Where did Christ begin? Not in Jerusalem, but in the far north, in Naphtali, Zebulun, in places of darkness. This is God's mercy. This is why God sent his Son into the world. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world, that Christ Jesus was sent into the world to save his people from their sins, to save sinners. You should call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It's life from the dead, verse 79. It brings peace, verse 79. As I keep saying, this is the watershed of the ages being announced. We're moving from the old covenant, the picture and the shadows, into the reality of the new covenant, the gospel, and above all, Christ, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ truly is all in all. And it's all laid out here in prophetic form by this man in this obscure village, beginning in such weakness, will lead to the glory of the knowledge of God covering the earth when the new kingdom, the new heavens and the new earth set up, all through the finished work of Christ. What a wonderful gospel this is.